You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey Siri, give me H-Town Soccer.
Talking all things Houston Dynamo FC. This is the official Dynamo Theory Podcast. We are Forever Orange.
What up, H-Town? Welcome to another episode of the official Dynamo Theory Podcast. My name is Rudy Segura, and tonight we are all back, finally. First recording of the year officially since we recorded. I think the last one we did was really right before 2022 ended. So excited to be back. The season for both Dynamo and the Dash are around the corner. Obviously, Dynamo does as well. But I'm joined by Chris and Putalias.
What is good, everybody? What's up? How you doing, guys?
And Rodrigo Segura, a.k.a. Astro. That's who we're really here for. So what's up, man?
Astro's dad.
What's going on? Yes, I'm back. Astro's back. The season's underway back, I guess, because officially training started yesterday. I guess whenever you're listening to this, I guess that was Sunday.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're all back. We're ready to go.
So, Rodrigo, tell the people where you were.
Real, tell us a story.
Man, I've been just traveling away. Obviously, I was in Houston and then back to Dallas. And then we ended up traveling to Spain. Went to go visit Barcelona. Definitely had to catch a game at the Camp Nou. And, you know, I guess there's a lot of people that love Messi there still because everything around the whole city is just related with Messi. And then obviously Argentina right now with the World Cup. But yeah, that was fun. Got to see a lot of cool places and amazing views everywhere we were. We actually went to Mallorca, which is a little island off the coast of Barcelona or Spain, I guess. But that was really nice. And we also went to London just for a day, just because we had to do a whole little fly detour. But anyways, I'm back. Glad to be back. And my dogs are pretty glad too, because they've been missing us.
Yeah, you sent that cool video of like flying over. Was it Chelsea against Man City or my?
Yep, yeah. Which
Man City?
Before a flight got moved, I was trying to see if we can get like an earlier flight, just to see if maybe. I mean, this is just me. Maybe I could go to the game.
Sure.
But my wife was kind of like over it. She's like, "No, yeah,
that way."
That's enough, but we didn't get lucky enough to even try to get earlier there, so it's just flying through.
Especially when you had to drive so much to get your dogs right there. Astro's like, yep. Yeah, I'm glad you're back. You might be.
Nah, he's been good, though. He was good. He was good to see his grandpa all week.
Well, man. I was going to say, you really haven't missed much, but there's been a ton of rumors that we've like touched on. Obviously, we've talked about how Ivan Franco was a sign that may happen. Brad Smith was hurt, you know, a rumor too that was going around. It was finally finalized by the team. Dia de Reyes Magos, I guess they decided to do it. Felt like it was a forever, but obviously Ivan Franco was announced. Brad Smith was announced. Now they're working on maybe getting, was it Franco Escobar, another Argentinian? Because we ended up losing Mati Vera, which is a little surprising to some. But I think we've talked about the fact that the guy did not necessarily fit in the system of what, you know, it looked like they're trying to do with HH and Coco Arrasquilla. Maybe Arthur takes over. But Christian, man, just let's start with your thoughts on Mati Vera, man. Like, it looks like they basically said, ciao, bye, adios, hasta lasagna, or whatever Argentinians use.
Hasta lasagna. That was funny. Well, funny that you mentioned that because, you know, last time when we were talking with Dustin, we were kind of putting together our starting 11 lineup. And one of the questions, or one of the bigger questions in my head was, where does Vera fit in here? Like, for us, he's part of the starting 11, but also at the same time, in my starting 11, I had Barlow playing in it in that kind of same role. So, you know, taking Vera out of the equation kind of makes it easier, I guess, in a way to kind of be able to put that starting 11 together, because Vera was a, I think, a pretty important part. I mean, he was starting the whole time he was here. Only a few games he didn't start, and he was a captain for a while too. So he was an important piece. But as we all know, you know, towards the end, I think as the time went by, I think his quality also went down. He started super high and then just kind of kept getting progressively worse in a way. Even though he was still, you know, pretty good, making good plays, some stupid yellow cards here and there, you know, that it was always kind of like a given for him, a little reckless. But at the end of the day, he did kind of help out the team a lot defensively, you know, considering the fact that we had Quintero and other attacking-minded players, right? He was a good anchor to have behind those guys. So with Vera going now, and I don't did yeah, he did get a green card towards the end, right? But we were able to at least, you know, free out a spot where, you know, maybe we can throw in a Bartlow or Arthur or, you know, another player that can help us out in the middle. Since we have a lot of players now that could compete in that middle section, I think it's good that, you know, we're kind of weeding out some players and at the same time bringing better quality, at least in the league, you know, like league players that have been around the league a little bit off more than him, to kind of give us a little bit more experience or maybe a fresh look or whatever it may be, right? But I don't mind it. It's a loan, so technically he could come back. But like as you said, the social media, you know,
Well,
statuses were much of like a
it
goodbye
looks like
forever.
he's gone for the rest of the year, and his contract expires in December. So even though they have an option, likely what it seems like it's, you know, the term of the contract expires, and that most likely they're not gonna get him. So, you know, it's a little sad to see Mati. Mati is one of those. I play that position, so I remember the first year that he was here. It was right before COVID, so we were still able to do meet the team. The fans did, and I was able to go and get a picture and autograph. And I was like, man, you are a good number. You know, he obviously he's a five, a six, or whatever you call him. And like you mentioned, that first year he was here, he was incredible. I mean, it was easy to see why he took the captain armband for a while, and then sadly it was taken away and given to Tim Parker as soon as he landed in Houston, basically. So that maybe is something that hurt his ego too, being that he was, you know, playing very well. But Rodrigo, you want to add anything on Mati Vera or any of the players so far, in or out?
Yeah, no, and on Matthew, I mean, I think like we were just, or Christian was just mentioning about the green card. I think that kind of took everybody by surprise with him just leaving, just because, you know, midway through last season, everybody was thinking like, oh, look, you know, he's getting a green card. That means he's here to stay longer, a couple more years, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's leaving. But at the same time, it's not that surprising, just because when Herrera came in, he was basically playing his position more. Herrera has always been a player that I guess he's pretty attacking minded, but I guess at the old age now, we just saw him like basically drop back a lot, try to play that defensive mid position more than anything, and I guess that's kind of what the role he's probably gonna be looking at, and they're probably seeing that, you know, Mati's not gonna really have a spot there, especially with the new guys coming in and you know, Coco sometimes doing some work on the back as well.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't already, listeners wise, Dustin was able to make it out to the first practice of the season with, like it was mentioned, it was on Sunday. Kind of odd to be on a Sunday at 10 in the morning. I don't know, maybe they really didn't want media to show up, but it seemed like a good amount of people still showed up for the event. And they did give out the list of the current players, so I'll go through it real quickly, for the preseason, obviously. So the For goalkeeper, they have four of them. They have Steve Clark, Andrew Tarbell, which is a new guy, Michael Nelson, and Xavier Valdez. Defenders are six currently, which is made out of Brad Smith, who looks like he's going to wear number two. Adam is still number three. Ethan Barlow changes number to number four. Daniel Stettis is number five. Teenage Odavi, 17. Griffin Dorsey, 25. Again, there, we're hoping that Franco Escobar gets, you know, signed, just because he would probably be fighting, obviously, most likely getting that first spot as a right back. Midfielders, you have Arthur wearing number six, then Ache Ache with his 16. They have Charles Auguste, which is one of the guys that they picked up, not in the draft, but basically as soon as the draft was over, because he wasn't eligible to be in the draft. He's number 19. Then you have Coco Carrasquilla still wearing 20. They still have Mati Vera here at 22, but I don't think he was there that day. Then you have Juan Castilla wearing 32, Brooklyn Reigns 35. And then as far as forwards, you had Ivan Franco wearing the lucky number 7. That seems to be not so lucky with the Dynamo. Seva still wearing number 9, Corey Bear number 12, Beto Avila 14, Nelson Quiñones 21. Ifaniachi Achara, he's wearing number 23. Daniel Rios, which is Danny Rios, 33. Thor, 34. And they had Isaiah Reed, which is a guy that got picked up on the draft, as well as Frats Period. Both of them not shown a number. But anyways, so that's the list. To me, the one that is still kind of weird not to see here, not necessarily that it's like, oh my God, he's a great player. What happened to Sam Junkwell, man? Rodrigo, man, your thoughts on just Sam Junkwell? Not really. There's no news on him, you know, good or bad. Like, is he leaving? Did he retire? It's kind of odd. I don't know. Especially when you're looking for a left back to, you know.
Yeah, I think not hearing anything from him. I mean, maybe it was something with the last head coach Nagamura or something, that maybe he talked them into, you know, a better role than what he was at, or maybe it was just personal, because everybody kind of knows that, you know, you're not gonna be at him for that spot. And that's, to me, that there was son of a, you know what, and he purposely, he's literally, bro, he like just, 10 feet away from me, like I can't just get up and like
for like, you to talk. That's like,
I know.
Just wait. Look, here. You said,
dude, like, he's literally on the, I think it's on his bed, and he's like 10 feet away from me. And
hilarious.
Motherfucker.
All right. We'll pass the mic to Christian then. What do you think, Christian, man? Sam Junkwell, again, not like a big name or anything like that, but I think it just, you know, curiosity gets the best of me, just trying to figure out exactly what's happening with him.
I mean, on same boat. I mean, there's not much to say. The only thing you could say is the kid is a hard worker, you know, but other than that, I guess the big question would be, is he really competition for Adam Lundqvist? You know, is he going to be there to actually compete for him? Or do we need to bring a bigger name, as we did for the right back, you know, to kind of take over or literally fight for that position? Adam, I think he has become one of the better left backs in the league. I'm not going to say the best or one of the best, but I think there has been moments where there was a, you know, that specific time where he actually lost the starting role to Junkwa, and then he kind of came back better than ever to kind of prove himself that, you know, damn, I almost lost my job, you know. And he's been doing pretty good. I mean, I really like Lundy. I think defensively he's pretty solid. Obviously he could get better and better and better, but he's pretty solid attacking-wise. You know, he tries to push as often as he can. Obviously, the teams that we had haven't been great, so I don't think not having a good team, I don't think it helps, you know, the defensive backs, you know, be able to push as much as they would have or would want to have pushed forward. But I think, you know, as slowly as we get better as a unit, I think each position will get better and better, and hopefully Adam will keep pushing forward. But going back to Junkwa, I mean, it is very surprising that he's not there, because I think his contract was in kind of like, you know, those talks or whatever.
Yeah, right? They send out like a bona fide offer, which is basically just an offer, take it or leave it, basically. Yeah. But it was never said if he rejected it or accepted it. Clearly, he's not here. So, and I think it may have been a little bit of a question mark, but with the arrival of Brad Smith, that is a left back. At the end of the day, basically you're covered now. But it's just, again, it's just curious, like, what this kid that was all over the place at one point, playing several positions, being player that could be moved around throughout the season, just kind of disappeared. It's interesting for sure. But Rodrigo, also, you know, one thing that we learned, obviously, we knew that there's a lot of guys leaving, especially players like Memo Rodriguez, that, you know, has been here for a long time. The guy played, you know, more than 130 games for the Dynamo, never really became the star that many wanted, but he lands in LA Galaxy. Man, you know, if you're going to get a breath of fresh air, that's like the ultimate, right? Going to LA. But your thoughts just on, you know, what do you think maybe he can do there, man? Do you see that he could get minutes just in LA, period? Or do you think that he may just kind of do the same role that he was doing here?
No, I mean, good for him that he's going to a team like that. But I do think he's going to struggle with minutes there. I mean, that team, you know, every year they try to get a stack as they can. Obviously, they sometimes like to rotate their players a lot with all the competitions they tend to play. But it's, I mean, good for him. But yeah, I think he would have find maybe more minutes if he would have gone to a not lesser team, but just a team that would actually need him, per se. I mean, you know, not saying he's a bad player or this amazing player. I mean, who knows? But I think that's good for him. Good for him that he's at least moving on to another MLS team, you know, because the things he showed in the last few seasons kind of how it was trending down for him, and for him to find a team like Galaxy to pick him up, you know, good for him. Not much to say other than, you know, because there's
well, especially when you see Galaxy, you know, they have Gaston Brugman with Ricky Puig, or however you pronounce that name, Marky Delgado. They have a lot of players too in the central of the field, unless, you know, you're thinking Memo may play on the wing or something every now and then. But you're right, I mean, Galaxy's flashy for a reason. They're most likely gonna go out there and spend money on someone for sure.
You know, it's funny that the three guys that we talked to the most often on this podcast were all sent out.
Maybe we're bad luck. We shouldn't say that out loud. So maybe we should have brought Quintero from the beginning, and you could have done the curse from the very beginning, right? Christian.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, but that's true. We talking to Memo, talking to Palomino and Mati Vera, and among the ones we talked to. But anyways, well, we need to get back into getting those interviews done, if we can get an answer back sometime, you know.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Man, so, you know, the season, I was looking at it, and it's February 25th is the first match. So it's about 47 days away, which doesn't seem like a long time, but it'll fly by pretty quickly. But we're in the midst of preseason. So at the end of the day, I think I was listening to, I believe it was Extra Time, that Tom, I know, I don't like segment. Extra Time. I know, it's awful. It's an Atlanta United stand account, man, and it gets pretty annoying pretty quickly. But Tom had good information saying that the last day to have a roster, I guess, comply your roster. So basically letting people know who's going to be making your team squad, it's actually the day right before kickoff. So needless to say, there's a lot of time for them to add however many players they want. But
get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think one of the questions that was asked for Pat Onstad on Sunday was basically, what are you looking at? And it looks like he may be, apart from Escobar as a right back, he's looking at getting two more players. And Christian, do you remember what positions they were? I know they were, I think it was an attacking midfielder and central midfielder.
Yeah, he basically said center attacking mid and a wing like type player. So, yeah, just those two, I mean, which is literally what we need.
Right.
It's not that kind of hard. And also, I mean, I think a question mark for me is who's going to wear the number 10? You know what I mean? Like, that's, to me, a number 10 is such a huge number. You know, it's where who's going to be this next guy?
Are you trying to say they're going to sign him, you know? Lionel Messi is coming? Is that
what I don't know. I'm just, you know, hey, you never know. You never.
Hey, if he came here and we win everything, he'll be ultimately the greatest ever.
For real. Pelé never won an MLS Cup. Ronaldo's never won an MLS Cup.
Maradona got kicked out of the United States.
Rodrigo, I was gonna ask you, like, obviously those two players, they have those U22 spots. You think they'll use those for those two positions?
You know what? Yeah, and I was looking at, you know, the age and what qualifies them and all that kind of stuff. And I know Asher was pretty active online the other day. I kind of wanted to tell him, like, dude, just get Linus. He meets the requirements. You have Herrera. We need a guy with those qualities. He's playing where he's supposed to be playing, I guess. You know, like the European teams don't really, I guess, playing him. It just doesn't look positive for him. And I did see some rumors that he might be going back to Liga MX, but I'm like, crap, just make a stop over here. And I don't know.
Well, it was definitely rumored last year that they tried to get him and it just kind of didn't work out because, as we all know, Pat Onstad is doing it. I mean, honestly, I was very Pat out mentality at one point, but at the same time, I was like, you know what? Let's get to the offseason, let him work. And he's done well so far, right? Cleaning out the roster space and trying to get as much Mama Jam, all that kind of fake money that they use to buy players in the league. But another thing was that he is so tied up with getting all those guys that he's been getting on a loan, you know, option to buy, like a 1-year loan option to buy. And it's hilarious because it's good, right? Because at the end of the day, like, if it doesn't work out, like Teguinho, you're not stuck with him. Imagine if he would have just right out bottom, like, who the hell are you going to sell it to? Walmart? Like, no one's going to take that guy, you know? And hey, they say you don't need a receipt sometimes. So, you know, I would try that first. But
you know, I think he's doing all this because of how the bad situation with Matt Jordan. Like, he left them so much crap that he's been cleaning out. And I feel like that's been one of the bigger things. Like, how can we get guys without being committed? Because we don't know their potential here. You know, we don't know how the head coach is going to work out. You know, and I mean, because, you know, you have this Nagamura trial thing that happened. And what if you wanted to bring all these guys for an extended period? Now he's out. Now you're stuck with them.
Yeah.
And now the new guy is going to want his new players. And you're like, well, no, we're kind of stuck with this guy for right now. So I feel like in a way it was kind of like a learning moment after he realized, shit, we have all this roster, you know, things that we need to move, but we're stuck. So,
all right, let me say something, and then at the end, I'm gonna ask you guys a question, or I might ask the question first and then say something. I don't know. Whatever comes out, it comes out. But I heard somewhere, I can't remember if it was Dustin or I can't remember if I heard it on Extra Time or wherever it was, but basically saying that Ben Olsen was the guy that Pat wanted before Nakamura, right? He wasn't available for whatever reason, you know, whatever it is. And he went with the second option, which was, you know, Paolo Nakamura, a rookie when it comes to coaching, a rookie when it comes to the league, like literally rookie all over, which everybody, whenever he got hired, we were like, what's going on here? Like, that's, it's not that there's the worst pick ever, but it was a very, very questionable pick, you know, for being your first pick for a manager. Like, it's very questionable, right? At the end of the day, we got rid of Nakamura. Ben also comes around with 10 years under his belt, you know, with DC United, and then, you know, going to the Washington Spirit, doing his thing on the, like, manager, you know, GM side of things, sporting director, whatever he was. So, obviously, he has a little bit more experience in the league, and then, you know, just kind of dealing with players, relationships, and whatever it may be, right? So, Pat Onstad now has a coach that he has a relationship with, right? He has maybe his, what could have been his first pick before Paolo Nakamura, somebody that he wanted. Now he's able to clean house 12 players out of the roster, you know, 12 players. And if you look at that list of 12 players, there was a lot of players that were brought in from previous regime with Matt Jordan, with terrible contracts, terrible money, like stupid, like, you know, giving out international roster spots for life. Like I didn't know about that. And I was like, bro, this is the dumbest guy ever. How the hell? Like, if you didn't like Matt Jordan then, like, now you hate him even more, right? Because you're like, this dude is terrible. Like, he's the worst ever. Shout out to Matt Jordan. And then, you know, bringing in players with, you know, experience in the league, bringing in players that, you know, not afraid to make moves of, you know, letting Tim Parker go, that supposedly he's one of the best, you know, quote unquote, one of the best center backs out there, supposedly, right? I don't know. That's what they say. I didn't see it. Letting Matias Vera go, a quote unquote veteran in this team, right? Veteran, is that a word? I don't know. Yeah. And then just, you know, just little kind of like stuff like that, bringing in a, you know, proven somewhat striker in Ferreira. And then not only that, but being able to bring HH, it's a huge deal. I mean, you bring, I mean, you know, he is, you know, quote unquote, an older guy, whatever, but he has experience, and you bought him, or you brought him from Atletico Madrid, which is a, you know, world-class team, right? So if you start looking at all the moves, you know, as much as there was moments where we were questioning Pat Onstad's, you know, decisions and Asher's decisions, and, you know, maybe somebody in this conversation here doesn't like Asher or Pat so much, but we'll leave that for another day. But, I mean, can we say that this is the best that we have seen the Dynamo in the last, I don't know, 7 to 10 years?
Yeah, I'll That's let Rodrigo. The question. I'll get Rodrigo started, but yeah, go Rodrigo.
The best as in like the team formation?
Yeah, like or, when you look at
he's talking about like the structure of it.
Yeah, when you look at coaching, when like you look team, at roster, like, when you look at depth, when you look at like multiple things, I guess. Overall, yeah, as a club in a way.
In the recent years, I mean, yeah, I feel like we're just starting from scratch finally, and like breaking out this last 7, 8, 9 years or whatever Matt Jordan screwed up. But we're all no. I mean, you know, that San Jose team was pretty juicy there that we got. But no, I mean.
Yeah, not ever, but like in the recent memory of like us, you know, doing the show, us following the Dynamo as older guys that understand the game. I mean, obviously 2006, 05 or 06, 07, whatever, that was the best years of the club, of course, right? And then you can maybe throw in you know, sprinkle in that U.S. Open Cup that Matt Jordan, you know, held on to for dear life. You know, with Ellis and them, you know, Ellis, Kyoto, Manotas. But I mean, other than that, I think maybe this team, I mean, we haven't seen them play yet, right? This is all speculation. But this is probably the best glimpse of hope that we have seen in the last five to 7 years.
Because we're seeing it as officially, this is not a Matt Jordan team. I think that's, you know, is a hard reset that we've been talking about. That for me, you know, it's not that I don't like Pat Onstad or Asher, but it's like not a lot seemed to have happened the first, you know, go around. And now that it's like, okay, we can finally get rid of some people, it you're starting to look at it and it makes a little bit more sense. And there's players like Fafa that maybe some people didn't want to see walk, or even Tim Parker. And it's funny you mentioned Tim Parker, because I saw a picture, like, it just, I was doing the breakfast links, and I saw a picture of Tim Parker, and now I smiled, like, I was happy knowing that this fool is not going to be there anymore. Like, I don't know why, but I mean, there is a rumor has it that, you know, Messi was like, que mira bobo, and it was actually Tim Parker that he told him, manda pa allá. But no, it just, you know, it was those guys that were getting paid so much, their contract was so long for not a lot of, you know, production out of them. And so if it's Pat and Asher, their way to approach it is, you know, we're taking it a season at a time. That's fine with me too. You're right. Making all those, especially the outside transactions, bringing them in as a loan, right? And then maybe with the option of making it permanent. It worked with, obviously, with Coco. You know, that again, that was a Matt Jordan thing, but you're going to hit and miss in a bunch of them. Taguinho was one that was like, oh my God, really, on YouTube? You watch this cat on YouTube? Like, come on, man. But in the sense of what you're asking, I think at the end of the day, if you really step back and look at the, like, what is happening, you know, there's a bunch of coaches being, you know, apart from assistants, there's been all kinds of positions made that you could definitely tell the Negamuro was not the guy. Like, they left him out to dry to an extent. And it was very obvious that Ben Olsen was the guy that Pat wanted from the very beginning. And clearly, you know, Olsen wasn't ready probably at the time. So the poor guinea pig had to be Negamuro. What are you going to say?
Maybe that was like, I mean, and we'll see how this season goes, but maybe we're going to see this as a brilliant move by Pat, because he probably wanted Ben, but knew that his first season was going to be a failure. So instead, he tried just to put Negamuro out like, hey, if we for some reason make the playoffs with you, he's going to look like a genius. But if you don't, it's kind of like, yeah, we knew this was going to happen. Like, you know, not to put that blame or pressure on him, but I feel like they knew it was going to be a failed season because of all, like we just mentioned, all this roster movements, all these things that Matt Jordan left, there was really not much room to grow other than, hey, let's pick up a few star players or somebody that, like Herrera, or that's going to improve, you know, for the supporters' morale, I guess. You know, like, hey, let's bring somebody in and then let's start stepping up the game, you know. But yeah, I feel like this is probably so far has been the best roster we've had in a while in terms of space, I guess. You know, they're still working on a few things, obviously, with the DPs and all that. I still think that this is at least giving us hope that we're eventually going to start landing those big names. Not just, you know, Herrera is a big name, quote unquote, for, you know, the Mexican supporter appeal and, you know, just internationally overall. But I feel this could be like the stepping stone of like, hey, you know, we have an owner that wants to grow, wants to see the team succeed, and who knows, maybe we're going to get a player or two in the next couple of years that might be a little bit past their prime, but they're willing to come to the MLS and play for the Dynamo.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible stuff that is happening. Just again, you're not winning MLS Cup in 2023, right? I mean, chances are very slim. You still have to get better, but it seems like you're actually finally like digging yourself out of that hole that you were in for 5-7 years. Except for, like you mentioned, that I mean, I still love that trophy. Don't get me wrong. Honestly, the U.S. Open Cup is probably like a better looking trophy for me than the MLS Cup. Period. It just looks fancy. But Christian, any more thoughts on this, on the roster stuff?
No, I mean, no, not really. I'm pretty hopeful. I'm hopeful every year, to be honest, in the beginning. But this one seems different, you know, seems different. I just think, like Rodrigo was saying, maybe, you know, his first year was kind of like a throwaway year. And now this is the year that, you know, actually they start working, they start making moves. They basically start doing whatever they want, you know, without any, you know, anything holding them back. So I'm very hopeful. I'm hoping to finally see a playoff game for the Houston Dynamo. I think since I started podcasting, you know, like 3-4 years ago or whatever it may be, I've never seen a post season of the Dynamo. So I'm looking forward to coming whatever what day comes, October, November, and still be doing, you know, podcasts about the Dynamo and how they're playing, even if it's just one. I'm content with one, you know, with one game. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, he got it out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Struggled a little bit. But, man, you know, no, I'm with you guys. And obviously, like, as the season gets closer, we'll get into basically what we did last year. I think last year we did a good exercise of kind of going through the season or the games and the schedule, kind of giving our opinion of, like, you know, how many, and basically find out how many points we think we're going to get. I'm hoping that Rodrigo gets it right this time.
I'll be more realistic this time around, okay? I'll put the bias, less hope for the best, and just kind of be more realistic. I'll be more like our boss, Dustin. Just
put loss every game. If they win, that's what I'm telling you. My thing is, like, my expectation is to get the wooden spoon. If it's more than that, we did okay. But I was going to add before we close it, and, you know, I'll let Christian close it out, see if he remembers all the stuff, and then Rodrigo.
I don't.
Officially close it out. But I was going to say, we're trying to definitely get more active and, you know, and listeners' questions. We forget half of the time. I know that we were going to record today, and Christian was like, hey, do you want to put something? By the time I looked, it was, like, super late. So if you guys are ever, you know, have any questions on anything, you know, anything, it can be a joke, it can be Dynamo, whatever you guys want us to touch on the show, just make sure to either tweet at Dynamo Theory, or maybe even just look us up or what's it called? Message us on Dynamo Theory on Instagram. And if you do tweet, use the hashtag AskDT. That way we'll track the questions. We'll get Dustin to track them for us. But Christian, man, I guess let the people know how they can connect with us.
Yeah, like Rudy said, you can find us at Dynamo Theory on Instagram and Twitter. You can always just go to the website, dynamotheory.com, for the articles. Like we mentioned, we are getting back on track. So, you know, expect all these breakfast links coming at you a few times a week. You know, we give you a bunch of the news that are happening during the week. Obviously, as soon as we get any information about the Dynamo, the Dash, you know, we'll be pumping out those as well. So don't forget, stay tuned to dynamotheory.com. You can find me at Chris Butalias. You can find Rodrigo at Rodrigo Segura 01, and then Rudy Segura 3. So there you go. I remembered. I actually flipped them. There you go. But yeah, don't forget, man, dynamotheory.com. That's where you get everything and anything. Thank you for listening again.
That's for it. Listening again. Yes, thank you for listening again. And I guess I'll close it out by saying we'll hope to make the best out of the season as Dynamo Theory and also as Dynamo fans. And hopefully it's going to be a great season for us. Let's just hope it's better than the last. Last season I did say it can't get any worse, and it did get worse, kind of.
That you got right.
This season, technically, I guess.
And yeah, September was very painful.
And no, we beat LAFC.
But the coach got fired.
So. Yeah. It happens. Anyways, Houston fans, thank you for listening. And remember to always hold it down and keep it forever orange.